You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with director Olivia Martin-McGuire. Olivia is the director of the new documentary China Love, which reveals the incredible story of pre-wedding photos in Chinese culture. Although on the surface this may seem frivolous or foreign to the West, pre-wedding photography is a multi-million dollar business in China that reveals the vast distance between the future and the past cultures colliding. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Olivia about the differences between the American and Chinese dream, what romance looks like in a Chinese culture, and if wedding photos can be a justice issue. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Thank you. I have to know, what time is it over there?
So I'm in Hong Kong. It's 10:15 at night.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I was wondering what the difference was when I realized that, I'd say the East Coast, but like the East Coast of the world.
Yeah. It's about 13 hours difference.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. This is great.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
I can tell you with all honesty that I loved your film. China Love is just a fascinating film to watch and a story I'd never heard before.
Right. That's great to hear.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about how you stumbled across this. I think you work in Shanghai, if that's correct.
Yeah, so I was based in Shanghai at the time, and I was working as a photojournalist, and I was running early for a job. I was actually sort of photographing someone for a paper in a beautiful big building on the Bund in Shanghai. And on this particular sort of spring day, there were maybe about 20 brides just on this corner, all getting their photos taken. I had seen it around the streets before, but on this particular day, it was very fantastical. They were all wearing different coloured sort of huge dresses and outfits, and then they were rushing really quickly. They were hiking up their dresses, and you could see little white runners, and then rushing somewhere, and they had teams of stylists all kind of running and then hopping in little vans. And I realized then and there that this wasn't the day of the wedding. This was some kind of other theater. You know, it was, and that sort of sucked me in, and I started photographing it as a photo series. It got commissioned, and then it got picked up by Time magazine. And, I realized that it was sort of more than a photo series, actually, when you started to really listen to what people said, that it was just this, just a slightly different window in to contemporary China, different from the one that you see in the newspaper. And it was just a way of really hearing the people talk.
The opening shots of seeing these streams of women running down the streets in their or in their wedding dresses is just, it's something you just would never see around in the West. And it's fascinating to me because one of the comments I think that you make is that 90% of the Chinese have no passports, but they're spending thousands of dollars on these photos to recreate places like going to Alaska and whatnot. Why do they do it?
Yeah, I think basically in most countries you have the past and then you have the present and you have the future. But in China, because it's the change has been so rapid and it's been faster than any other country in the world, I feel like you have the past and you have the future, but the present is just, it's just not there in the same way. And so I think, I feel like it's a country that's in a dream state, a bit like maybe America was when, you know, the American dream started to formulate. The China dream is really something, it's a dreaming time. And I think these photos offer up a chance to do a lot of the things that are still not possible. You know, that sort of represent a sort of fantasy realm, a dream realm that's hasn't quite become real yet.
What is the dream? You talk a lot about the dream, and I think actually at one point you asked some gentlemen if they or what they think the American dream is, and they don't really have an answer. So well, is it different?
I think the American dream and the Chinese dream are, there are similarities and then there are massive differences. I mean, it's a country that's coming into its own, it's growing in power in the way that America did, and it has that upbeat sort of infectious feeling about it. Anything's possible, you know. There's just this sort of powerful feel when you live there. But the American dream is all about the individual, and the China dream is not about that. So they're very different in that way. I think the photos can kind of represent a kind of an individual desire and a sort of reinterpretation or appropriation of romance, which they really get from the West, because romance is not a Chinese concept. But the actual wedding and still the values are still very much around doing what's right for the family and doing what's right for the group, the community, society, the country.
You mentioned romance, how it's not generally a Chinese ideal, but it does seem to be breaking in. I was wondering, is it a thing there? What does it look like? Is it a challenge between generations? You know, we see the marriage market.
I think that the generational divide, as I said, you know, there's no present, so there's the past and the future.
Right.
And the parents are really like the past and the children are like the future, and there's nothing in between. So a lot of I went to hear an author speak who'd written a book about China who described it really well, I thought, in that he said, in China it's like your parents are your great-grandparents. That's the generational gap is just so, and the tension between that generation is so distinct that really just understanding that tension and understanding the parents, what they have come through with the Cultural Revolution, is so unbelievably significant to then have children who are really living in some sort of more like futuristic world. If you even just have a glimpse of that or an understanding of that, then you can kind of understand a lot about China in general.
It was amazing to me. I think it was Alan. Is it Alan Shin?
Alan.
Yeah, he, like, because here you have a man who's, he's relatively young. I don't know if he's in his 30s or 40s.
Yeah, early 30s.
Early 30s. And he talks about how 10 years ago he was living in poverty, and now he's got this, you know, 7,000 employees and 7 countries and 300 locations. But it seems like the business model is almost warlike in its approach.
I mean, I think he's transparent about that and he's open about that. I mean, you'd probably find that there'd be very powerful CEOs and entrepreneurs who, self-made sort of billionaires, who had similar types of, you know, but it's just not as transparent. But it, you know, in China, you're talking about the past up against the future. So yes, he's someone who's come through, he was a child of the Cultural Revolution, so he's experienced having no options, literally no opportunities, to them being in a country where there are opportunities and people can jump on them and anything's possible. And some of those systems are still caught in between the past and the future, for sure.
Maybe this is a difficult question to answer or not, but I was wondering why the emphasis is so much on the pre-wedding photos. It seemed, but the emphasis in the West is always on the wedding, and it seemed like there's a greater emphasis on the photos beforehand.
Absolutely. Photos are always beforehand. The wedding is really about the parents. So going to a Chinese wedding is quite humbling. It's not about the individual couple. It's about them. They spend a lot of time honoring their parents, their grandparents, moving from house to house, doing tea ceremonies and various other sort of rituals. And I guess the photos are an opportunity to have that individual moment to dress up and document their youth and the concept of romance, the sort of the dream of romance, which I think is still part of a Western wedding, but it's more, there is that sort of real need particularly in Australia, when we were interviewing Australian people, where the man in the film who's Australian was just horrified at the idea of taking photos that weren't real.
Hmm.
You know, these wedding photos are meant to be the documentation of the actual day, and it needs to be honest and it needs to be truthful. But in China, it's not like that. This is a dream image. You can make it as unreal as you want. You can get photo with a rabbit's head on. You can fill the room with teddy bears and be surrounded by them. You can be a king. You can be a queen. You can be anything. Hmm. It's these are real sort of fantasy photos, and it's sort of an opportunity to document that idea of romance.
Hmm. One of the parts of the film that I never thought that I would ask this question, but one of the parts of the film that I found so charming was there's a nonprofit organization that does it for adults or seniors who their wedding photo is just a static photo from the communist regime. And there is this beautiful moment where these people are receiving wedding photos 50, 60 years later. I have to ask a question. Are wedding photos a justice issue in this case?
The wedding photos, I think, for sure, because it's become a really important trend in China for charities to offer these free photo shoots, for sure they are in some way healing. They are kind of like a reconciliation of what was denied, particularly at a time when wedding photo industry in China is just this huge thing and represents so much of this dream of the future, of what wasn't possible. You know, maybe in the West you might want to dress up a bit, but in China you really dress up because none of that was possible. And it was something that was, you would be, fined, humiliated, it was forbidden. So it sort of swung in the other direction in such a big way. So with the elderly, it is definitely, being there and watching it is definitely a healing experience for them to just dress up, just dress up and be in this sort of youthful, romantic, I guess wedding photos to some degree are kind of dreamlike, no matter what country you're in. It's sort of this moment of romance.
My romantic moment and dream didn't take me underwater, but that was incredible.
It's like the pendulum swinging. I mean, if you listen to, if you sit with someone who has lived through the Cultural Revolution and you hear about, what happened when you tried to wear a different color, so you weren't wearing the color blue, it's such extreme denial that of course it would be freeing and of course it would be wonderful to really go extreme in the other direction.
Of course, that makes sense. One of the other words that appears a few times in your film is the word freedom. As we start to wrap up, I was wondering, what do you think freedom looks like in this case?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I think even in just simple ways of being able to sort of express yourself as an individual, the freedom is different from the American dream, the American and the Western sort of concept of freedom, which is very much individual, your individual voice, your individual rights, which China they don't value that, because there is so much sacrifice around community, and family. So I think the photos offer this moment of freedom that's not quite placed anywhere else yet.
There certainly seems to be something really life-giving about it to the culture in a way that, you don't see in the West. You know, usually when we talk about wedding photos in the West, it's somebody gets their friend with a camera and they go take some photos in the, you know, out in the park, or the, and then the professional photographer shows up at the wedding. And but this, there seems to be something that, really breeds life in these pre-wedding photos. It's just incredible to see.
Yeah, I mean, one of the characters, Fiona, I remember her saying to me that at one point she thought, oh, maybe I won't get those photos. And her mum just said to her, you have to get these photos. You have to get them for me. I never had a chance to feel beautiful, dress up, and document that. I've got no documentation of it, and neither did your grandmother. And you have to do it for all of us, and you have to be extra beautiful, and you have to make it extra, you know, special.
That comes through in the film, I feel. It's just a wonderful film. Now, I know it's premiering at, or this Friday, the 9th in New York, and if I'm correct.
Yes, at Doc NYC.
At Doc NYC. Is there plans for a wider rollout after that?
Well, we've only just sort of started putting it into film festivals. So after the film festivals, it's going to screen on TV in Australia on the ABC, and then I think it'll go into other avenues of how it can be seen around the world as well.
Well, it's a beautiful film. Like I said before, it was a story that I had never heard before, but it was more than just about weddings. It seemed to be so much more than that. And I really appreciate you speaking with me and sharing this with us all.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivia. Have a great night, I guess.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Have a good day.
You too.